Schoolyard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Ah, congratulations, Michigan. A convincing win. Just like Lane Frank said yesterday when he joined us from the men's room at NRG Stadium in our 30-minute abbreviated show. In fact, how close was Lane to picking the actual final score of 34-13? We'll tell you right now.
Very excited for this game tonight. Coronado didn't have school today. That's why I'm at the game.
Wait, there's no school at Coronado?
No, new building, moving in. That's besides the point. This is going to be an elite game. Michigan's going to win it. I don't have much time. Michigan's going to win this game. It's an amazing atmosphere here.
Hey, Lane, final score tonight.
Let's go. Michigan, 34-10. Go Blue. I will be going crazy once we win.
Well, he was right. They won. And he was only 3 points off. How about that? I mean, think about this for a second. How about hitting the natty exactly right with the number of points your favorite team will score and then missing the opposition by three? I mean, that's pretty remarkable when you start to think about it. Now, here's the thing that I find fascinating, okay? This was a much, much closer game than the final score indicated. In fact, for three and a half quarters, it was still very much up in the air for either team. So when you hear the final score of 34-13, you think immediately of a lopsided affair that was completely one-sided and dominant, which is, I think, what Lane expected. But it was actually a much closer game until Michigan just scored a couple of touchdowns in the fourth to put it away. But how about hitting that final score to within three? That's pretty impressive there, Adrian. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of personalities on this show, and they always express their fandom, whether it's Gator Richard, his love for the Florida Gators. It's Lane Frank, who all season long has expressed his love for the Michigan Wolverines and has broke down each game every single week when he talks to us and has given us his thoughts on this team, the Harbaugh controversy, all that kind of stuff. Orly will chime in. He'll talk 49. Yep. We've got the personalities on this show, whether they're our listeners who call in or they're our regular guests who have their fandom. And to hear Lane Frank be so confident and actually get to celebrate after this one, how could you not just be happy for him, his family who got to be out there, and you know, everybody celebrating for the big Michigan victory?
What an amazing experience that had to be for them. I mean, just think about that. You know, it's your favorite team. You have this journey where you always dream of a situation like this. You get to be there in Houston. I wonder if he made it up to the Michael Jordan Skybox suite during the games where Derek Jeter was and all the other celebs were hanging out during that contest.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the host of that suite or something like that, Steve. You know, that kind of thing. They had to go through Lane Frank in order to actually get in the suite. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. I'll also say this, as far as the game itself, Michael Penix, the game was kind of on him. And yep, we talked about the matchup yesterday, the offensive line of Washington versus the defensive line of Michigan State, and the Wolverines won that matchup. That ended up being the difference of the game. By the end, it looked like he had broken a rib or something, Michael Penix, because he couldn't even walk at some point without holding his chest and his rib area.
But even when Penix had time to make the throws, he wasn't delivering the kind of pinpoint accuracy we've been so used to watching.
He was rattled, man.
Yes, he was.
And you know what? Look, the lights are bright. It's the biggest game of the year. No doubt about it. The biggest game he's ever been a part of. So I get it. There are going to be those nerves. But at the same time, J.J. McCarthy's on the other side. He had not been in a situation like that. He's getting advice from the mental coach on the sideline at one point, you know, as well. He ends up the winner. And I left this game very impressed with J.J. McCarthy. I'm not completely out on Michael Penix, and he actually could be a first-round draft pick when it's all said and done. But yeah, it was J.J. McCarthy who was poised in the pocket and who led his team to victory.
Not only that, he didn't have a great passing game. I mean, at one point he was only like 8 of 16 for 76 yards or something like that, and he had a 7-point lead, and I think it was in the third quarter. And I don't know if you remember this play, but they were backed up at like their own, inside their own 5, and it was third down. And then he took off and he ran for like 35 yards and got them completely out of harm's way. And those were the kind of difference-making plays that J.J. was able to do. And I was so impressed with that because it was a field position game at that point. Washington was hoping to have the ball near midfield and try to punch it in for a tie score. And then all of a sudden, when you think you've got Michigan's offense buried, that's when they come back and they get you.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Brock Purdy. Like, does enough to manage a game, never makes those mistakes that hurt you in a game,
yep.
and just does enough of winning plays for you to actually pull it off and get it done. That play in itself was great, and it was exceptionally great, Steve, the one that you're talking about, because they had not had great starting field position in the second half. Michigan didn't have. Washington, it felt like their punter wasn't great, but every punt he had, every ball would roll to the back of the end zone or near to it. So it felt like Michigan was just getting awful starting field position. J.J. McCarthy able to bail out the team on that third down play. If they had a punt at that point, I bet you the Huskies turn around and score on that drive, and it's a lot closer of a matchup or a game when it was all said and done.
100%. 100%. If you want to talk about that game with us, we can do it with you right now. 505-6009. That's 505-6009. Tonight at 6 o'clock, it'll be UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding live from Hudson's 1770 Lee Trevino. You can spend some time with John Teicher, get a burger or some wings, maybe a shake, and talk a little UTEP basketball. That's what's going to be happening. We'll have it for you as well. 6 o'clock right here. It's UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding coming up live, 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, so we have 2 hours with you today. As we mentioned earlier, we would love to talk championship game. So impressed. Also, I don't know if Bernie is going to be back from the championship before the show is over. So how can I put this? Bernie was in Houston. He was at the championship game. He did not book an airlines that flies more direct flights and instead took his chances with a very well-known airlines that likes to take you around the world before they get you to the right spot. Well, to make a long story short, his flights have been delayed. He was supposed to get back by now. I don't believe that's the case. So Bernie knows that if he comes back into town during Sports Talk, he's going to drop by the show. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about the future of the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl and all that with Bernie. He said he's got some good clarity after this weekend. But Adrian, I don't know if that's going to happen. Just because, yes, he is, you know, he went from Houston to Dallas, Dallas to El Paso, delays galore, and I'm not even sure if he's going to be in before we end the show.
So we've got a great 600 ESPN El Paso X following, formerly known as Twitter, and if that following were to bully the said airline, Steve, do you think Bernie could get here faster? So what I'm saying is if... This is like, yeah. Let me give an airline that's no longer active right now, Sprint, okay? So, or Spirit, I should say. If it's like Spirit Airlines, could we get our 600 ESPN El Paso mass following to jump on that specific company's Twitter account and bully them to get Bernie Olivas here to town faster?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
That's a bummer.
Too big. Airline's too big.
Okay. So. Next time.
Yeah.
That's well, you know how they sometimes reply to you and they try to make it right? Maybe we could at least get a drink voucher for him.
He would love that, but I don't even know if they do drink vouchers.
Oh, that's how unspirited this airline is, huh?
Yes, yes, yes. This is an airline that whenever I book it for our Dallas Cowboy trip winners, I'm always holding my breath.
I know which one.
I'm always holding my breath.
I hope they're never a sponsor because I wouldn't genuinely read their ads.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just leave it at that. So hopefully Bernie lands. And when he lands, we can talk to him during the show today. So is Alberto next to you today?
He is.
Man, good job last week, Alberto. You did double duty. You had the KLAQ morning show. You had SportsCenter. Do you want to do SportsCenter at the bottom of the hour just to show off for Adrian and show everybody how far along you came since last week?
Yes, sir.
All right. I figured as much. There you go, Adrian. So Alberto will give us a SportsCenter here at the bottom of our 4 o'clock hour.
Good stuff. Let's go.
I like that. UTEP signings today. They found more and more players they were adding to their football team. In fact, I do find this very interesting when you really look at, you know, the minors and where they're at right now. We know they lost Deion Hankins. We know they also lost another one of their main running backs
Torrance
as well.
Burgess.
Torrance Burgess.
Yeah.
Right. So we found out today that Austin Peay transfer Javon Jackson will be with the Miners. He had 10 touchdowns, 1,300 rushing yards, chose UTEP over Tulsa, UConn, North Texas, Texas State. Man, how bad does UConn want running backs? We know they're after Deion Hankins. I did not know that they threw an offer to Javon Jackson. So that tells me that UConn really wants running backs in the worst way possible. However, Javon Jackson said that it will be UTEP for him, so he, in fact, will go and play for the Miners. Now, as far as that running back room, Adrian, that's going to be kind of interesting because assuming he gets healthy and you know is he's still on the UTEP team, Aaron Dumas is in that running back room. Mike Franklin is in that running back room. We've got a few others that are also in that running back room.
Yeah, you think about Sam Houston State transfer, De'Aaron Trice. He is also on the team. He played a little bit on special teams, didn't burn his year of eligibility on the team as well. Azel Jolly, I don't know if you mentioned him, but he's also another guy. Joshua Dye, this is a walk-on guy that they had and they brought on to into the mix. Kurtraven Walker, last spring we heard thoughts about who'd get the third running back role. Is it Mike Franklin or Kurtraven Walker? Xavier Johnson, he's a Hanks graduate. He's also on the team. I would assume he's a walk-on, you know, but he's still listed on the squad. You talk about the signees. It's Ashton Emery, who is a well-regarded guy out of high school and could be playing in year one, despite all these different players that we're talking about. Marquez Taylor is also a running back. You've got a minor back, which is a position that they're creating here at UTEP under Scotty Walden and Cam Thomas that they signed in early signing day. So by my numbers, by my account, Steve, we're looking at like 10 to 12 running backs on this roster right now.
It could be the deepest running back room ever, and we thought last year was going to be the deepest running back room at UTEP.
Yeah, how are you going to have that? I mean, there's only one ball, right? I mean, there's only two at most running backs you're going to have in the backfield, right? At least that's what I'm assuming. So the minor back position is going to kind of play like a slot receiver role, so they're not going to be afraid to move these guys to a receiving position if that's the case under Scotty Walden. But at the same point, I would like to see if any of these other guys hit the portal or just see what the kind of running back depth chart would really look like when it's all said and done.
This could be, again, you're right, a running back room that is filled with, who knows, they're going to run the ball up and down the field so many times. Maybe they need to have 10 running backs at their disposal.
Yeah, that's right. And we've seen durability be an issue at the running back position. Not even just Deion Hankins, right? Like it's other,
everybody.
Yeah, other graduates like Quadres Wadley in the past, Trayvon Hughes in the past. So durability is one of those things that just always comes into question when it comes to UTEP running backs.
Let's get the phone started. Orly's first up. He joins us here 15 past the hour. Welcome, Orly. What's going on?
If you're flying Spirit, you're taking your risk at your head. They do not serve El Paso. So
I did not. I am not mentioning any airlines by name, and I'm not going to. You know, I'm not going to do that. No.
But I can tell you, it's a tough air. There's a certain airline that UTEP uses on charters. It's another one I wouldn't go on.
Okay.
Because you don't know if they're going to cancel. Anyway, going back to the football season, Michigan. I was surprised how they came out in the first quarter. Just took it to that game was over in the first quarter. They were not going to lose that game. It was fun to watch. I'm glad for Harbaugh. Where does he go now? Does he go with the Chargers? You've got a quarterback there already. They just need to be coached right.
I don't know where he goes. There's been so many rumors about where maybe he goes to Tennessee. I don't know where he's heading right now. That's a tough call. Adrian, you have any ideas where you think Harbaugh's going?
So I still think it's Vegas. If I'm going anywhere, I'm going Vegas, and I think that's the only name, not name AP, that Raider fans will welcome, and that's Harbaugh. I don't necessarily love it. I like the AP decision, but I think that Davis is an owner that loves the splash. He loves the splash. I do not count out Washington because of the new owner and Josh Harris. He would give the full keys, the whole car, the house, and everything to Jim Harbaugh if he joined Washington.
What about New England? And get rid of Belichick and bring Harbaugh in.
I'm going Vrabel at New England. I think Vrabel's going to New England. I think I think that's the case.
Do you really want to bring back a Bill Belichick disciple after the way his career just ended in New England?
That's a good point. But I'd say that's my pick for Mike Vrabel. I think that he's got the ties there, and he's not a bad coach either. He's great on development.
Hey, real quick, the 49ers. The only team that could beat the 49ers are the 49ers themselves.
I think that's a fair assessment. I do. I think that's fair. Although we have, I'll tell you what though, this season, we've seen Brock Purdy get rattled. And we've seen Brock Purdy have some bad games. So it's not often, doesn't happen as often, but you know that we didn't see that last year because he got hurt. Now we've seen it. So you wonder, will Brock be able to get through the postseason and play like he has most of the regular season? Or will one of those 2, 3, 4 interception games be his worst enemy in the postseason?
I don't think so. I think the biggest problem with the 49ers, I'm concerned, is the kicking game. I'm not comfortable with our kicker. He's cost them 2 games this year, the Cleveland game and the game against the Rams. I mean, he's a Moody. I don't know.
Yeah, you miss Robbie. You miss Robbie Gold.
I miss Robbie Gold. He's money. He's money in the clutch.
I hear you. Appreciate you, Orly. Thanks for the call. Interesting that 49er fans are worried about kicking game more than they are Brock Purdy right now heading into the postseason.
You know, the one team I would want to play if I'm San Francisco is the Philadelphia Eagles in the second round. So, like, I'm hoping Philly wins. I'm hoping that they play them. If the one team that I wouldn't want to play, the Los Angeles Rams.
Really? Yeah, but then again, you're not playing Baker Mayfield. Not Baker. You're not playing Sam Darnold like they did last weekend.
No, I throw last week aside. Yeah. It's the fact that Aaron Donald's rushing Brock Purdy.
That's true. That is true. Do you think the Rams are one of the most dangerous teams in the NFC heading into this postseason?
No. Well, I want to throw bias aside. I think some matchups the Rams just don't like. The Rams up against the Cowboys, I don't like that because the Rams have a terrible secondary, and you could argue that Purdy could dice it up and throw all over the field against the Rams. But at the same point, I'd be more concerned about Dak if I were the Rams, and I would fear that matchup right there.
Good start to the show. 505-6009. Let's head to Charlie. We can get our first traffic update here on our Tuesday commute. All right, back here on Sports Talk as we continue. With the news that Javon Jackson has committed to UTEP, the Austin Peay transfer running back, joining the running back room for the Miners, it is interesting to note that Tyron Smith has also found a home. He will be going to Cincinnati to play with the Bearcats next season. So Tyron Smith, who has spent 3 years in a row in the portal, 1 year he goes in, comes out, comes back to UTEP. Next year, he goes in, goes to A&M, then doesn't like A&M, and comes back to UTEP, gets hurt, goes back in this year for the third straight year, and now goes to Cincinnati. He will play for the Bearcats.
Look, here's how I feel about Tyron Smith. I hope he finds what he's looking for, because these past couple of years, it seems like it's been him trying to find exactly what's best for him, his future, whether it's through NIL or if it's through future pro football opportunities. So I hope at Cincinnati he finds that, whatever it is that he's searching for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, the hardest part for Tyron Smith is he had a couple of, he had a great second year at UTEP, really, when he came out of the portal that first year. He was terrific, and then things didn't work out at A&M, and sadly last year he got hurt early and never was able to get healthy the rest of the season.
Yeah, and maybe he was, there's a little bit of a debate on could he have returned late in the season. At that point, why would you? If the team was out of contention and you want to preserve an extra year of eligibility, if your ultimate goal is to play professionally, then he was electing to take that medical redshirt, which is what he did, to get that final year of eligibility, which is what he got, and that's going to Cincinnati.
I agree with you. Alberto will have SportsCenter coming up for us bottom of the hour as we continue, but first let's go to Domingo. He joins us next on the phones. 505-6009, our telephone number. Domingo, what's going on?
How you doing, Gabby? First of all, I hope everybody had a good holiday season. Happy New Year. Hope you had a good Christmas. And Gabby, I hope you had a good Hanukkah.
Thank you, Domingo.
All right. And first of all, I got three subjects to talk about. Subject number one, the passing of two well-known World Cup managers. won the Brazilian Madison Galo, and the and yesterday, the legendary German manager Franz Beckenbauer. That was a shock. Two legendary managers who won a World Cup as a player manager passed away suddenly.
Yeah, that was, sometimes stories like that do surprise a lot of people, and Beckenbauer, not somebody that really anybody expected. That was definitely a surprise.
Yep. All right, topic number two. This week, oh, my God, Liga MX is back, the second half, and I can't wait for the champs, Club America, the 14-time champs, back in action. They're playing Tijuana. And in 2 weeks, they're coming to Juarez, and I hope I get to see my America at the Benito, because you know I'm a big-time America fan, and I'm going to try to find a way to go to Juarez to see America.
By the way, if you go to Juarez to see Club America, honest question here, how many America fans do you think will be in that stadium versus FC Juarez fans?
A lot of fans, Cappy. There'll be a lot of America fans. They're well traveled.
But, like, I'm curious about one thing, okay? In terms of this league, America and also, America and Guadalajara, those are the two most well-known teams, correct?
Yep. Big time.
Yes. So, I wonder, like, which one do you think's bigger? America?
America, of course. They're the best. 14-time champs.
Right.
You do know.
What about, yes. Well, I mean, but you listen, you do have Chicharito at Chivas.
Yeah, who cares?
All right, there it is. That's what I was waiting for. Who cares? He's a has-been. He's a washed-up superstar. There we go. That's what I wanted.
Yes. Now, the last topic, big playoff match this weekend, the Cowboys against the Packers. You know who I'm going to root for. It's obvious who I'm going to root for. I don't care about Aaron Jones. The Cowboys are going to do well in the playoffs. That's who I'm going to root.
So,
Cowboys win, we move on. If we lose, well, you know, I have Club America.
Question for you. If they lose to the Packers, is Mike McCarthy out of a job?
I don't know. Well, let's see what Jerry Jones says.
I think he's out of a job, Domingo, and I appreciate the call. I mean, look, you win the division. You have home field up until the championship game, assuming San Francisco wins next week in the divisional round. You can't lose to the Packers. You can't lose to the Green Bay Packers. But I've been talking to Cowboy fans for the last couple of days about this, okay? I love this matchup, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, all the pressure in this game is on the Dallas Cowboys. All of it. There is zero pressure on the Green Bay Packers. Nobody picked them to go to the playoffs. Everybody thought it was going to be a rebuild. Everybody talked about what a flop Jordan Love is going to be. Nobody gave the Green Bay Packers a chance. And now, here they are in the wild card round playing the Dallas Cowboys. You also have my favorite storyline, and that is Mike McCarthy against Aaron Jones. Here's a coach that didn't play him, didn't believe in him, didn't give him a chance, and it really wasn't until Mike McCarthy left that Aaron Jones started to shine with the Packers. You don't think he wants to go and run all over Dallas and beat McCarthy and put him away in the playoffs? You have another thing coming. Final point I'll bring up about this game, okay? Dallas is terrific at home. Terrific at home. But, like I talked about earlier, the Packers are playing with house money right now. They're going in with a nothing to lose, everything to gain mentality. And knowing that the pressure is going to be on Dallas this weekend and not Green Bay, Adrian, this is going to make this game a lot more interesting than people would realize.
Yeah, I'm going to stay how I stayed before I left, and that is I'm out on the Cowboys. I'm out. I thought they should have lost to the Lions, and the game against the Commanders, who cares? Ron Rivera is going to get fired anyways, right? Who's their best win on the season? Do you look back and say it was the Rams now, the way that the Los Angeles has closed out the year? Because it's not the Eagles, the way that Philly looks right now to close out the year. So if you're trying to stack up the quality wins that this team has had all season long, there's not many of them, and the losses start making you scratch your head, like their loss against the Cardinals, earlier in the season. Their two losses to the AFC East teams, like the Bills and the Dolphins, both on the road when they had opportunities to win both of those games. Whatever. I'm just not a fan of this team right now as it stands. I'm out on this team. I think the Packers have a great opportunity to go in and hand Dallas their first loss at home on the season, and then Bill Belichick will be the head coach of the Cowboys in 2 weeks.
Yeah, because you know Mike McCarthy's gone. If they lose to the Packers at home in the wild card round, there is absolutely no way Mike McCarthy survives.
Right, and I think that we saw this reporting start to trickle out of Dallas over the past weekend, that if they flame out in an uninspiring fashion, Jerry Jones is too old. He wants to win a Super Bowl now, and this is the roster to do it with all the talent that they have on both sides.
That's right. Bottom of the hour as Sports Talk continues. Here he is, Alberto Urueta. He's back with this Sports Center update for us. That's what I love. That's what we want. A little high school sports focus here with you. We'll come back and we'll do it again with you at the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour as we continue here on the show. So nicely done, Alberto, and we appreciate that. 505-6009, our telephone number as we continue here on Sports Talk. Now, let's look at this Cowboys-Packers game from the Cowboys fans' perspective, okay? Dallas has something to prove. They want to show everybody that being 8-0 in the regular season meant something. That despite some people believing they didn't play anybody, well, they're just that good at home, and they're going to show it now in the wild card and the divisional rounds, which could very well be the case. In fact, we could have Eagles-Cowboys coming up in the divisional round if Philly can get past Tampa in the wild card round Monday night.
Good point. Another thing with that is if you're a Cowboys fan, the one thing that you're one of the things that you're really bullish on is the emergence of Micah Parsons without T.J. Watt going into the postseason and with Myles Garrett going in with the Cleveland Browns being what it is. So what I'm saying is, can Micah Parsons stamp himself as the best defensive player all across the NFL with a magical postseason run? And it's led by, you know, you've got a great defense behind him. Donovan Wilson stepping up. Deron Bland is killing it this entire year. Just had a pick last week. So if you look at this Cowboys defense right now and you're a Cowboys fan, that's where you hang your hat on. That's what you get excited about, because this defense, when it's at its best, it's really shown up this season.
You're right. And Green Bay is going to have their work cut out for them, trying to slow down Dak and CeeDee and that group. There's no doubt about that. And the Cowboys do have weapons, and they've shown themselves well when given the opportunity. Jordan Love has never played in a postseason game. So really, this will be kind of an... Actually, he might have played... Did he play in relief of Aaron Rodgers 1 year? Did he get hurt and Love came in for like a couple of series? Maybe one series in a playoff game, now that I think about it?
That might be right, but I'm not too sure. I don't know if he's ever played in this moment. Let me double check on this.
I have to do that too, and I want to make sure I've got that right, because it's possible that Jordan has never played in a postseason, but something kind of tells me that he might have come in relief and done that. I don't know. It doesn't look like that's the case. I'm checking his career postseason stats out, and all right, it just shows that in 2020 in the postseason, he played two games but did not attempt a pass. So there you go. So maybe he might have come in and just handed the ball off a little bit, and that's it. Now, look, I mean, the Cowboys are supposed to win this game. Let's not kid ourselves here. The Cowboys are supposed to beat the Green Bay Packers. There shouldn't even be a question about this. But, like I told you earlier, nobody gave Green Bay a chance to get to the postseason. Everybody counted them out. And they played well as of late. They won 6 of their last 8 games. And you look at Jordan Love's season this year, 32 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 4,200 passing yards. That's a solid season for somebody that many believed was a bust and would never be able to do what Aaron Rodgers could do with the Packers.
Yeah, especially in this offseason where there's a little bit of an uncertainty around his contract, around contracts, around some of their skill position players, including Aaron Jones. And you look at some of the younger receivers that they have, like Jaden Reed, and they've really stepped up nicely too. They've gotten better as the season has progressed. So if I'm going resume wins. I like their win against the Chargers. And, well, actually, I like their win against the Chiefs, the way that they kind of dominated on that Sunday night game, 27-19 victory. These last three straight that they've won have been impressive, although the Panthers game, a little too close for comfort. Carolina does play teams pretty competitively. But still, I like the way that Aaron Jones has emerged these last three games, having 100-yard rushing performances in each of them. And he's coming off that injury that he suffered throughout this season. So he's playing his best football. You want him to play at his best right now going into the postseason.
I'm going to tell you this, okay? Aaron Jones should be a Packer for life. There should never be another team he plays for. And the funny thing is that when you finally give Aaron Jones the ball and he's healthy, look what he does. He averages 5-6 yards a carry. He does everything for you but score touchdowns just because you don't give him the ball in situations to score touchdowns. He'd do that for you, too, if you handed them the ball inside the red zone. But you don't. You give the ball to A.J. Dillon or you throw the ball in the end zone. But Aaron Jones, to me, he's the heart and soul of this team. Because think about this. He's the old man on the team now at 29. They're full of youngsters on that offensive side of the ball. And he's one of the few guys that's been through the wars and the battles that can kind of help rein in this team when they need to be reined in. So, you know, I've also often said that Aaron is a leader on this group. He has been. And when you have a healthy Aaron Jones, even at the age of 29, he still shows that he is capable of shouldering an offense and basically putting a team on his back.
He can. He definitely can. And I feel like with Aaron Jones' emergence over the past couple weeks, he's just kind of, I think a lot of people were out on just Aaron Jones. I think everybody's, you know, there's a lot of football fans who see production through the fantasy football value meter, and they just say, hey, if you're not giving me a plus in fantasy, then I'm just out on you as a player. But what people who are probably out of the playoffs in fantasy football failed to realize is he closed out the season really positively. And A.J. Dillon, when he's in the mix, too, they make for a great 1-2 punch. The Cowboys will have their hands full with those two guys, and not to mention Aaron Jones. It seems like he plays at his best when he's playing against the Cowboys.
Do we know about A.J. Dillon and what's going to happen to him regarding his status against the Cowboys?
Still questionable right now, and I don't know, man. He only had 19 rushing yards against the Bears. It just seems like despite what's going on right now, I just don't know with that broken thumb how he's going to be ready or if he's going to be ready here for this weekend.
I don't know either. It's interesting when you start to think about it. He's got a broken thumb and a neck stinger. That's not good. But you also have Patrick Taylor off the bench, and Aaron has shown that he has no problem shouldering the load for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and they also have Kenyon Drake, who they promoted last week from the practice squad, and you know maybe they look to him, a veteran running back as well, to help complement Aaron Jones. But like you said, he can take the workload. And if it's A.J. Dillon doing the short yardage situations for the Packers, then that's probably their M.O. going into this weekend.
Looking at some of the messages coming in on Twitter and X, YYS, FYI, Steve, probably half of the Locomotive fans are closet America fans. Also, wear your Aaron Jones jersey on Friday because I'm just getting a vibe. Yeah, that could be a good vibe for you. Enrique Ortiz, Cap, you hit the hammer on the nail. Dallas has everything they need to have a lengthy playoff run. The worst matchup for Dallas is Dallas. They have been their own worst enemy since 1996. Let's see if we can finally host a championship game since 96. Funny, because Enrique just said exactly what Orly said, that San Francisco's worst enemy could be San Francisco, and Dallas's worst enemy is the Dallas Cowboys.
Unlike what I've seen so far from the 49ers, Steve, from the Cowboys, I feel like the 49ers right now, their window is here. If they don't win this year, then I'd be concerned for them in the future because their window is now. Now, with the Cowboys, you can make an argument if they flipped a coach or something like that next season, they run it back with the talent they have, and maybe they have success.
That's true. That is very true. All right, as we continue here on Sports Talk, 505-6009, our telephone number, 20 in front of 5 right now, as we get yourself through till 6 today, and then John will join us for UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding. Here is Fernie, who's up next on the show. Fernie, you tell me, can the Cowboys make a deep run through the playoffs this year and possibly even land in Vegas?
Hey, man, it's set up that way, okay? So it's all they got to do is win two games or at least get to the NFC Championship game. And that's the whole thing is the 49ers, but, you know, and that's the whole thing you're talking about. If McCarthy gets canned, if he loses the first round, and yeah, I would think so. Even the second round. I mean, there's no point to it. If a dude can't even get to, you know, win two playoff games, what's the point to having this guy around? You know, I mean, there is no point.
That's true.
You might as well just, I mean, did Brandon just say Bill Belichick? I was just kind of like, what? No way. That would be kind of, Bill's a little bit, I don't know, he's a little bit older. And you know, that was just one thing. Hey, another thing on the minor football.
Yes.
You were mentioning Smith going to Cincinnati. Which other guys entered the portal and haven't been picked up and or might come back to Utah? What about Hankins?
Hankins is still out there, although that running back room is very, very crowded right now. Here are the guys that have gone. Smith to Cincinnati. You've got Kelly Akari at Mississippi State. Torrey Richardson's at Temple. Mikel Broussard ended up transferring to Eastern Washington. James Neal is at Texas State. You've got Canaeus Savon at Utah. You also have Justin Mayers at Colorado. Kobe Hilton is at Oklahoma State. And Latrell Shelton is at Texas State. Everybody else is still out there right now.
Well, you know, and I am kind of concerned because the trade-off in the portal that we got what? Austin Peay Jr. here, junior
yes,
college.
We do. We are Austin. We are now Austin Peay El Paso. That's exactly what we are.
And these guys were, you know, FCS for a reason.
Well, I don't know. How bad did that work out for Jacksonville State this year when they transferred over from FCS to Conference USA?
And Incarnate Word to Texas State.
Incarnate Word as well. That's exactly right.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. But I just I'm being a little bit cynical about, you know, being a little Austin Peay, you know, junior college here. But, you know, some of the guys that are still in the portal, I'd like to see. I mean, how many guys are still in the portal, Steve? And I mean, what is going on with that? I mean, I haven't seen any coverage on that. I've seen the guys that have, you know, obviously chosen to go somewhere else.
Here are the guys from UTEP that are still in the portal. Stephen Hubbard is still out there. Jonathan Patrick Jr. is still out there. Marcus Vinson, Torrance Burgess, Jeremiah Ballard is still out there. Deion Hankins is still out there. Jerome Wilson Jr., Jalen Rudolph, Tyler Williams, Justine Clark, Elijah Johnson, and that's the group right now that I see. Anybody else, Adrian, or is that it?
Well, I just want to say this. I think it's hard, you know, for us. I'll just say this, but honestly. 247 Sports is the only kind of source that we look at for this stuff. Yeah. And when you start to ask the coaching staff about this stuff, they usually say, hey, the guys who are in the portal, chances are they're probably not coming back. The one guy that I could be honest that I do think he's coming back is Otis Pitts, the offensive tackle for the Miners. He hit the portal initially, but I do believe he's coming back on this team. And that's huge news right there because they need starting offensive tackles, offensive linemen on their team.
He withdrew his name officially from the portal, so he is back as a Miner. That is accurate.
I wish Hankins would, you know, withdraw and come back. Only as, I mean, because he would be a strong leader to you know, for the Miners. But, I mean, yeah, to each his own. He's trying to look out for himself. But
Fernie, you got to realize something. Fernie, Adrian said it best. That running back room right now has, like, about 10 guys on there. That is the most crowded running back room in college football with all the players that are going to be playing for the Miners this next year.
I guess that's a good problem. And, you know, getting back to the Cowboys, we'll see what happens on Sunday. Go Cowboys.
Appreciate you, Fernie. Fours across the board. We'll come back with more in a moment. Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, 10 in front of 5 as we continue here on Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. All of our guests on the show always appear via the 600 ESPN El Paso Longhorn Distributing Hotline. In fact, the McLaren Formula One detail products are now available at Longhorn Distributing, 5516 East Paisano, 2 blocks south of I-10. That's right, McLaren Formula One detail products at Longhorn Distributing. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Cruz standing by through the break. Hey, Cruz, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself, man?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Cruz.
Hey, I want to make a comment, a couple of them. You know, the Cowboys have been own worst enemy, like a caller called earlier and said. Those mental mistakes, they start moving before the ball is hiked, and then the holding. And, you know, at times like I said earlier in the year, that Dak Prescott does what Tony Romo used to do. He tries to force the ball in there. So they need to be patient. If it's not there, you know, maybe throw it downfield as far as the furthest receiver. Put it somewhere where it can't be intercepted. Throw it away, you know. And there's times, you know, I've seen times when Dak Prescott can run with it, but, you know, that's if you can get hurt, you know. But that's what I wanted to say. If they play, if they're patient, if they're careful, play every play like, you know, the game depends on it. Because sometimes the game does depend on a certain play.
Yep.
So if they play that way, all through the entire game, from the first play to the last in every game, I think that, you know, they've been in some of these games that they've lost against some pretty good teams. They've been there competing. And if they can eliminate some of those calls, because they're the most penalized team in the NFL. So if they can eliminate some of these mistakes, their chances improve.
That's true. I agree with that. Mistakes are always a killer for this team, but hopefully this will be a different group this postseason. Maybe we'll see a different, you know, different than what you're used to.
Yeah, and, you know, that goes for everybody. I hope they win. I'm really pulling for them, but we'll find out this weekend.
All right. Appreciate you. Thanks, Cruz.
Thank you.
You know, we actually had you're going to laugh when you hear about this, but we had a certain Conrad sighting while you're on vacation.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
No way. Sighting? Like you saw him in person?
No, he called the show.
Okay. Wow.
He's been pretty excited about the team right now.
I'm shocked. Well, I don't know what he's watching, man.
Well, he seemed pretty jacked up about it right now. He really did.
Was he excited about Dak? Does he like the defense? I mean, I would
Everything.
Love to hear that.
Everything.
Yeah.
He was ready to go. He's,
wow.
You know, Conrad's on board. He was rather you know, I don't want to say jubilant, but he seemed pretty happy.
Well, we'll probably hear from him on Monday then, right? Or maybe
Maybe we hear from Conrad this week.
That's true. Yeah, I get a little prediction.
Yeah, I mean, why do we have to wait till Monday? We can just get it sooner than later, right?
Yeah, that's a good call. I like it.
I like that too. All right. Hey, winding up hour number one of two here on the show. Don't forget, John Teicher is going to join us coming up in just about 45 minutes from now. We'll get a chance to talk to Teich live at Hudson's Grill, 1770 Lee Trevino. You want to get in, though, we'd love to hear from you. And that includes our mobile app where you can chat with us in real time. In fact, I'm looking at some of the messages. Robert says, hey, Adrian, I'll bet you lunch that the Cowboys will win by over 7 points. I'll bet you lunch. I'll give you 7 points.
Robert, I don't know who you are, and I agree. I'm in on this. I'll take the 7 points. I'll buy you lunch. I got you.
I like that. I like that a lot. Pinky, you don't know how much I hate college game announcers saying a transfer portal from Old Beach Boys song comes to mind. Be true to your school. Thank you, Pinky. Appreciate that. I do like the Be True to Your School song from the Beach Boys. We'll come back. Hour number two in a moment. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.
Yard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the start of hour number two of Sports Talk. He's Adrian Broaddus. We got Alberto here as well. Alberto is going to give us a little Sports Center at the bottom of the hour. Good to have you back, folks. Here as we continue. By the way, in case you missed it, Michigan, they are your national champions. Last night, they dominated 34-13, the final score. By the way, when it comes to predicting scores, I am not very good at it. I'll be the first to tell you. I don't know if Adrian feels like he's good at predicting final scores. You feel like you've got a talent for that?
No, I don't.
I'll tell you who does have a talent for it. Lane Frank, the host of the Schoolyard Sports Podcast. He joined us yesterday on Sports Talk prior to the game. Here was his prediction, folks.
Very excited for this game tonight. Coronado didn't have school today. That's why I'm at the game.
Wait, there's no school at Coronado?
No, new building, moving in. That's besides the point. This is going to be an elite game. Michigan's going to win it. I don't have much time. Michigan's going to win this game. It's an amazing atmosphere here.
Hey, Lane, final score tonight.
Let's go. Michigan, 34-10. Go Blue. I will be going crazy once we win.
All right. Pretty confident. 34-10. The final was 34-13. It's pretty good when you can accurately predict your favorite team's final score to like on the dot, and then the opposition, you're only off by 3 points.
Pretty impressive, man. And also, I just would say to all the Michigan fans out there, for everybody, it's been a long time, 1997, 26 years right there. Yeah, that's the last time they actually won a national championship. So happy for Michigan. Also, I heard from a lot of people that it was a breath of fresh air having a non-SEC, non-South team win the national championship.
That's nice, isn't it, when you have a little different story?
Yeah, that's right. In today's NIL transfer portal era of college football, yes, it is. It's nice to see a little different.
Now, when you say they won the national championship in 1997, was that January of 97 or was that December of 97?
I got to double check on that. Yeah, I just know the year.
I'm just wondering because I'm trying to figure out if I was even hosting Sports Talk then, because I took over full-time hosting duties for Sports Talk in the summer of 97. So I can't remember if that was before or after Michigan ended up winning the Natty.
So I've got them beating, this does not seem right. I've got them beating Washington State January 1st, 1998. Does that seem right? Maybe.
Washington State, Mike Price for the championship? That could be.
I think that's what I've got, a Rose Bowl national championship.
January 1st, 98. Okay. That could be the case, which means I would have been 6 months into hosting Sports Talk.
Yeah, that's I love it. I love that right there.
Long
Lloyd Carr, head coach.
Long time ago, Adrian. Long time ago. So, all right. Esteban gets into the program on Twitter and X, says, Steve, I distinctly remember Coach Walden state in his interview with you that he would not take back any player that went into the portal. Adrian, can we fact check that? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, he said that at the point, he had like an ultimatum date. So he was like, hey, from this point on, anybody who hits the portal from this point on will not be allowed to come back. So let's say Otis Pitts, who had hit the portal before Scotty Walden was hired and then met Scotty Walden, wanted to come back because he loved the energy of the new head coach. That was enough for, Scotty Walden to obviously accept Otis Pitts back in the program.
So anybody who was in the portal prior to when he was hired could probably have an opportunity to come back.
Correct. That's exactly right. Yeah, and I would assume that those decisions have already been made.
Because I would think so, too.
I mean, hey, look, they've got their first official team meeting coming up here on Monday at 7 in the morning out at the LKD. So that'll tell you enough as far as where this team is at and kind of the expectations that'll be placed.
What do we know? Do we know anything yet about where guys like, Deion Hankins is where he's going to go?
So Deion has hinted on Instagram and things like that that like he likes the UConn idea. He's made the official visit out there. They rolled out the red carpet for him out at UConn. So we know the challenges that UConn faces as an independent football program right now. They don't have much of an NIL in place, but they do have some NIL in place right now. Jim Mora wants to obviously win there. He's talked publicly about how the lack of resources that UConn has had has hurt them in trying to have success, but that's the only school right there that I've seen a lot of interest from as far as Deion Hankins on his personal social media account.
We were hoping that Bernie Olivas would be here in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm not giving up. I still have hope, but I have not heard from Bernie. I don't even know if he's landed yet, to be 100% honest with you. I don't know, which begs the question that Chris Banks 21 asks on Twitter at 600 ESPN El Paso. I thought Bernie, Chris said, had access to the Tony the Tiger private jet. Apparently not.
I like that. I like the guess right there from Chris. Good stuff.
He flies commercial, Chris, just to let you know. He does not fly private. He flies commercial. Simple as that.
Wouldn't it be cool, though, if there was a Kellogg's plane just flying Bernie around everywhere?
Especially if the plane was painted with Tony the Tiger.
Or if every time they landed, Tony the Tiger had to come out with Bernie, so you get a little photo op and a little advertising there.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not sure. And I can tell you this much right now. I just sent a text to Bernie, and ooh, it shows was delivered. Which means one of two things. Either A, he's stuck in an airport, hasn't flown back yet. B, he has landed in El Paso. Or C, he has messaging on his flight.
Yeah, I would go with the C option maybe. I mean, yeah, even if you're with the worst airlines that we didn't mention in the previous hour, usually those have Wi-Fi, right? For messaging at least, right?
Ooh,
some of them?
Not all of them.
You're right. Not
let me say this. Okay, let me say this. I have flown the last 2 years. I've been fortunate enough to fly on the UTEP football charter each of the last two seasons. No internet, no text, no Wi-Fi, no nothing.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, though. I mean, it's if it's just going to be for the team, right? Yeah, I hear that. If it's going to be a commercial flight,
yes,
like we're talking, you know.
But what did you think that the college team would have access to texting and even the coaches or anybody
sure, yes,
affiliated with the team? Because we're not just talking players. We're talking coaches. We're talking athletic directors. We're talking athletic staff. Nobody has those. And some of those flights, we're talking 3-4 hours each.
Yeah, yeah,
Miami was not a short flight.
I would say just from the admin perspective, wouldn't you want your access to the phone? I mean, you never know what could be happening.
That's true. You're 100% right about that. 10 past the hour as we continue. So I'll try to get confirmation from Bernie to see if he can pop in here during our 5 o'clock hour. If not, maybe we can get him tomorrow. We got a full 3 hours tomorrow. We have a full 3 hours every day the rest of the week, by the way, Adrian. We're going 4 to 7 Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week because UTEP will not be playing Thursday. They will, in fact, be playing in Miami against FIU Saturday afternoon.
That's right, yeah, and it's going to be a busy weekend, too, if you talk about UTEP hoops. I mean, the road trip to Florida International, got a chance to go out to practice today to see the men's basketball team, where they're at right now. And, hey, look, this is a program right now that's searching for their first road win of the season. And, granted, they haven't had many opportunities to do it. Only, what, 4 road games, true road games so far, 0-4 on the road right now. This is the right game to do it. If they're trying to look at that get-right game on the road, it's FIU who's been struggling all season long, across Conference USA and non-conference play.
And you get to watch them practice at the Haskins Center. That's a rarity. Most of the times, they're always practicing at Foster Stevens.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you're talking about young guys like David Terrell Jr., who's earning more minutes. He's got to get as many reps in the Don Haskins Center as he can as he tries to continue to develop with this team. And I guess that's where, you know, the conversation was centered, the pivot to going to more of a small ball approach and the smaller lineup right now. And I guess that's where the coaching staff and the team is at.
Let's play this clip. You tweeted this out less than a minute ago. Here's Joe Golding talking about David Terrell, Trey Horton, Calvin Solomon from Adrian and his trip to practice earlier today.
Yeah, I thought he's playing really well. You see his confidence starting to grow. It's typical freshman, man. We've hit January now, and that's usually when you see some growth from freshmen that continue to trust the process and stick with it. I think he gained a ton of confidence in the second half of New Mexico State, and I think you can see that in how he played in Chicago State. So there's a reason he didn't come off the floor the second half. You know, I think we all know around here, David Terrell is going to be a special player, and he's pretty darn good right now, but he's going to get better and better and better each and every day. And, I think one time on the floor, we had 3 freshmen, right? The other night, we had Elijah Jones, Trey Horton, and David. So that's a great sign for the future, but obviously we're trying to win now. Those guys give us a good chance to win.
What does it take for a guy to get minutes on the team like Horton, who got extended minutes this
year? Yeah, we went to 4 guards, which obviously presented an opportunity for Trey. And then we know Trey can shoot the basketball, and he's getting better defensively. That's why Trey hasn't been on the floor, is just figuring out defensive concepts and stuff. And when you can't score the ball, you got to be able to guard and defend, right, to stay in games. But Trey obviously helps us open the floor a little bit, and that's what we were trying to do.
What do you see from FIU?
Yeah, same FIU team that I've seen the last 2 years. Very athletic, very talented, really, really good guards. They press defensively. They force a bunch of turnovers. They get up and down the floor. And so you got to really value the basketball. You got to take care of it. I think here we turned it over 14 times and beat them 20. There we turned it over 20-plus and barely won. So you got to value the basketball, and you got to seize on opportunities when you have numbers and create some offense, but you also just can't get in a track meet.
Terry talked about just putting the pieces together on offense. Just what needs to be done on that side of the ball?
Yeah, again, we're just trying to figure it out, right? We've gone from 2 game to high-low stuff, which didn't create enough space, we thought, for our guards to just try to open the floor a little bit now, playing 4 guards and trying to open the floor up, create a little bit more space for those guys to have some more freedom to go make some plays.
With the pivot, how does Calvin's role change?
I don't think it changed, you know. I mean, he plays the 5, you know. Like, we're going to play 1 big right now, but there's going to be times, Adrian, that we're going to have to play 2 bigs, right? I mean, there's going to be times we're going to have to go back to 2 bigs on conference play. You've noticed that we got beat on the glass against Chicago State, so that's that's kind of a trade-off, right? When you do it, you got to have some toughness for 4 guards. We got to be able to rebound. With Otis on the floor, those cuts, like, you're 2 bigs, but we've moved Otis back a little bit to the perimeter. But, Calvin's role hasn't changed. We just need more consistency.
All right, so there it is, saying you need more consistency from Calvin. It also makes you wonder if you go small and he plays the five, what happens with Kevin Kalou?
Oh, he's not going to play. Just going to swap him out because he's going to go with that smaller ball approach right now. And, yeah, there's going to be teams across Conference USA, like he alluded to, where you're going to have to play two bigs in stretches. But I'd also like to see how that third big, a.k.a. Elijah Jones, fits into that equation moving forward as well. He's gotten a little bit more playing time, but, you know, when the mistakes come, that's usually when the benching comes for Elijah Jones.
That's true. And then you wonder, you know, it's when you make mistakes and you get benched, it sometimes becomes a mental thing and you're almost more worried about on the court not making mistakes than you are trying to just play basketball.
Yeah, no doubt. And another thing with that is Calvin Solomon in particular, when you talk about things like mistakes, we were highlighting this on Minor Talk over the weekend. The one area that he needs to improve on drastically is his turnover rate. Last year, his turnover rate was on 23 possessions. He would turn the ball over offensively. This year, that number has actually increased to about 25%. So a fourth of his offensive possessions, when he touches the ball, he's turning the ball over. And Calvin Solomon, a preseason All-Conference USA selection and honoree, cannot be doing this in his final season of college hoops.
It's hard to believe that Solomon has struggled as much as he has. It really is.
Yeah, it is, because I had high expectations for Calvin Solomon. I really did, and I think they were warranted, knowing that this guy has been in college basketball since the pandemic season 2020 for Stephen F. Austin and has really played minutes ever since then, even though those times it was off the bench. He was a bona fide starter. Now he's coming off the bench. His minutes are kind of diminishing a little bit on this team, but I want to see how that is moving forward, how he can step up and still be valuable to this team, knowing that his minutes aren't where they were previously.
You want to get in? 505-6009, our telephone number. That's 505-6009. You can also connect to us at 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and also on our mobile app, where you can listen to the show and chat with us in real time. More in a moment, but first, let's go to Charlie One. He's back with his traffic update. I didn't expect that. I don't know about you, but that was something that definitely caught me off guard a little bit. Vrabel, one of the more successful coaches in the game, and I know Tennessee had their finish the way they did, and you know, don't get into the playoffs. I did not expect Vrabel to be one of the first coaches that would be a casualty of the 2023 football season.
Yeah, and you heard from their owner today. So just for, I thought this might happen. And I thought that for Vrabel, it just, what are you going to do? Run it back next year with a younger roster and try to redevelop everything when he's kind of that coach who you plug in and you try to make a postseason run with the talent that you already have? They're kind of going through a bit of a rebuild, might not move forward with Derrick Henry next year. And then they hired a new GM last offseason. So whenever you hire a new GM, the GM wants their own head coach. They want somebody that they sign off on and stuff like that. So with all this coupled and knowing that you still have a bit of an uncertainty when it comes to your quarterback with Will Levis or whatever you end up doing at that spot, it's time for a little bit of a rebuild and a reset for this team right here. You look across the AFC South. Are you better if you run it back as is than the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars if you're the Titans? Probably not. And that's why they needed the full reset. I expect DeAndre Hopkins next year as well. Might look to deal him and get some depth from him. And what they do at that coaching position, I don't know. I don't know where they go. Do they hire young and try to push for Ben Johnson type of hire, like from the Detroit Lions? Do they want to be involved in the Harbaugh sweepstakes or the Bill Belichick sweepstakes if that ends up being the case? So I felt like the trade was an option for the Titans, but very complex, very complicated to actually make that happen. Trading a head coach hasn't happened since what? Sean Payton or John Gruden? Is that the last time we're talking about a head coaching trade? So it's been a while.
Meanwhile, what do you do if you've got Will Levis? Do you draft a quarterback with the 7th overall pick like the Titans could do, or do you give Levis, the former 2nd-round pick, an opportunity to try to earn the job permanently?
So it depends on who's on the board. I really like Jaden Daniels from LSU. I think he's only going to improve his draft stock after the NFL scouting combine. He might even surpass somebody like Drake May. Maybe that's a little bit of a reach, but still, I like Daniels. If he's available at number 7, if they could even couple or trade that pick and trade up for it, maybe they get one of the splash guys. I just think it's hard to draft quarterbacks, Steve. It's like 50-50, maybe not even. Maybe it's like a 60% bust rate for most of these first, second-round picks.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of guys that just come out right out of the gate and do well. You really don't. I mean, look, C.J. Stroud was terrific this year. But on the flip side, you could look at, for every C.J. Stroud, how many other quarterbacks were first-round failures that just never got it done?
Yeah, for every C.J. Stroud, then there's the Bryce Young, who you're scratching your head at and thinking, oh, this time last year, January 9th of last year, Steve, we were talking about Bryce Young, no doubt about it, number one pick of the draft. If we had a redraft to tomorrow, C.J. Stroud would be number one, no doubt about it, to the Carolina Panthers, knowing what we know now.
That's true. And by the way, this could be a very quarterback-heavy draft. Very quarterback. You have Caleb Williams right out of the gate. You mentioned Jaden Daniels. You also have you've got Penix. You've got the quarterback out of Oregon.
Bo Nix.
Everybody loves him too. So there's a lot. I mean, you could have five quarterbacks drafted in the first 10 picks.
Sure. I mean, look at even J.J. McCarthy. I wouldn't throw him as maybe a top 10 overall pick, but still, he could end up finding his way into being a first, second-round draft pick when it's all said and done. Still haven't gotten the official word from Quinn Ewers whether or not he will come back. All the indication expects him to come back for another season out in Texas right now, although that hasn't been made official. Sanders, I'm looking at Shedeur Sanders. I still think he's fantastic, although he probably returns to Colorado when it's all said and done.
Don't forget about Drake May.
Yeah, Drake, of course.
He's going to be a top three overall pick.
Yeah,
probably
number two, probably right behind him. And then I would definitely throw in some of the outside guys like Cameron Ward. I like what he does, although he might be coming back for another season of college football. So yeah, there are a lot of names who could be drafted here coming up here in April.
I mean, you just look at the top draft picks in the NFL for quarterback. You've got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. That's a very interesting top six right there. And you wonder how high will some of these quarterbacks go. And even if J.J. McCarthy doesn't have the physical tools that, let's say, Caleb Williams has, he's a winner and he knows how to navigate through big moments. That's a big deal.
And there will be teams who just say, "Ah, well, let's patch it up with a veteran right now and let's see what we can do with that." And that might be the Tennessee Titans case, to go back to what the Titans end up doing. Maybe they think, let's pair up Will Levis with the free agent quarterback out there, whether it be like a Jameis Winston or even Garner Minshew, even though he's been on a million teams over the past couple seasons. So that could end up happening as well.
That wide receiving draft is also going to be really interesting, especially with Marvin Harrison Jr. You've got also Adunzi from Washington. You've got Malik Nabers from LSU, Keon Coleman from Florida State, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, a couple of Texas receivers, and Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. There's a lot of guys. A lot of guys could be big.
Yeah, and we've seen how wide receivers are the guys who can make the quickest impact. Look at Zay Flowers and what he's helped the Baltimore Ravens do in year one. Even Puka Nacua, who's drafted late, on day three for the Rams. He has been a valuable difference maker for them in their playoff run. So young receivers are always the guys who should be drafted early on, because you could, like we've seen in the past, you could plug and play these guys and you can never have too many of them.
How high is Brock Bowers going to go? The super tight end from Georgia. He could potentially be a top five, top 10 pick.
Oh, I love him. He's probably number one as far as talent on this entire draft, other than Marvin Harrison. I mean, think about it, Steve. We've got Marvin Harrison, once in a generation type of receiver. Brock Bowers, once in a generation type of tight end, at least on paper as far as a recruit. Then you move over to the quarterbacks. It's Caleb Williams and Drake May, two guys who are rated pretty high on this draft right now. And I believe it's the Notre Dame offensive tackle. He's also
Joe Alt.
Yeah, he's going to be a top 10 guy as well, and he's graded pretty high by a lot of these draft gurus.
Then you've got Olu Fashanu from Penn State, who could also be the number one offensive tackle on the board, and he's a potential top 10, top 15 pick.
Yeah, it's a good name as well. I mean, look, if you're a team out there like the Arizona Cardinals that still values their current starting quarterback in Kyler Murray, then you're looking at that offensive tackle spot. You've got a top 10 overall pick. You need to bolster your offensive line. That's where you need to go. Tennessee Titans, you can make an argument they need to go with an offensive lineman instead of going the quarterback or even defensive route. Another thing to mention, not a lot of pass rushers going into this 2024 NFL draft. I would look at Dallas Turner out out of Alabama, his draft stock could skyrocket over the next couple months because there just simply isn't as many edge rushers going into this year's draft. Jared Verse, he's another guy I like from Florida State. But other than those two guys, I mean, maybe you like Trice yesterday from Washington. He was a nice pass rusher from the Huskies. Those are the only two I would look at right now, first-round picks out of the edge spot.
I haven't mentioned this yet, and I apologize because I should have mentioned this in the first half hour of the show, but hearing the news that Tyrese Knight got an invite to the Senior Bowl, that is a big, big deal for Tyrese and for UTEP football. And I was trying to remember the last guy that had a Senior Bowl invite from UTEP. It's been a while.
My guess is Will Hernandez, I'd have to go back and do some digging on that. But, you know, this is extra special this year, the fact that Tyrese Knight gets invited to the Senior Bowl, knowing that this is the first year they actually allowed juniors in the bowl game. And that's really difficult, right, Steve? Yeah. Almost as unfair because it eliminates a lot of roster spots that could be given to underrepresented talented players like Tyrese Knight. And so he got a late invite, but it ended up being the case. I'm so happy for Tyrese Knight. I actually saw him over the offseason, was telling him how disappointed I was that he wasn't selected for it. He was disappointed himself, but I'm happy that this all came to fruition. He'll be in front of so many scouts, and you know what? One of their directors, Jim Nagy, loves Tyrese Knight, has tweeted about him before, and so that bodes well for him as well.
I'm excited about that. By the way, I'm also fascinated about what UTEP's going to do with their senior day, aren't you, with knowing the players that are all, you know, done with eligibility, that want to play on Sundays, and Tyrese will be part of that, and knowing also that this is the first time Scotty Walden will be helping to organize senior day, what that's going to be like around here.
Definitely, yeah.
Pro day, I should say.
Right. And we've talked about in the past, it's about getting the invites out there for pro day. And I'm happy that there are NFL draft hopefuls like Praise Mayhule who've already left town,
yep,
and they are currently out in the East Texas area training with high-level professionals to try to get a pro chance, whether it's in the NFL, XFL, you know, the merger that's going on with the XFL and USFL, or the CFL when it's all said and done.
That's true. All right, bottom of the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. Let's get back to Alberto. He's standing by with this SportsCenter update for us. Good job, Alberto. Very difficult trying to throw a Podziemski out there during a SportsCenter update. Those are names I usually just skip, Adrian. I'm not going to lie to you. Anytime I got to throw something like that out there, my best advice to Alberto is when it comes to the NBA, ask Adrian any foreign name because usually he follows the NBA so well, Alberto, that he can help you out with that pronunciation guide.
Yeah, Podziemski is the guy. And there's no even R in there, but I don't even know how that's
Podziemski.
Yeah. Podziemski. I've heard it multiple times.
Podziemski.
Yeah. And so, interesting player on the Warriors. By the way, who knows if Draymond is even on the team here in the next couple months, right?
How about Draymond saying that Adam Silver talked him out of retirement?
I don't believe that, man. I really don't. This is a lot of this is fodder. A lot of this is to promote him. A lot of this is for his podcast and stuff like that. I don't really believe it.
How about this, though? This is interesting. And this is a quote that if he actually meant it would mean something. When he says, I've cost my team enough, I've cost this organization enough. If he really meant that and wanted to start fresh, I'd be okay with that. But how long will it take until Draymond starts being Draymond again?
Well, I mean, he was always Draymond, right? Even when he got suspended, that's why he got suspended, is because he was kind of taking Draymond to a little bit higher of a level. But when he doesn't turn it up to 20 notches, and when he can just kind of maintain a nice, like, even keel type of approach, I think that's the better approach for Draymond Green. Another part about Draymond Green is I still think he's valuable, Steve. I think another team out there, if they look at this Golden State Warriors team and say, hey, look, we can trade them a center. That's what they need. They need a big. They need somebody who's going to rebound for them, somebody who's going to help them out in the interior. Then we can part ways with Draymond Green, knowing what's gone on in the past. The Jordan Poole punch should have been it last year, and then now it's pouring into this year with two different instances of him fighting, getting thrown out of games for his antics and stuff like that. So I think it's time for an end. I think both sides would benefit from a change of scenery.
How about the Knicks winning four in a row? They play tonight also. They're hosting the Blazers in a game that's going to start any minute now from the Garden. But they look like a new team after making that trade, and Toronto looks good. That's maybe one of those win-win trades right now.
I liked it initially. I think the one thing. Okay, so when I first saw OG Anunoby for RJ Barrett, I was like, "No way!" Like the Knicks got fleeced. This is terrible. I'm really disappointed in New York for actually going forward with this and Leon Rose. But then when I saw Precious Achiuwa coming back in that trade to New York, I liked the complimentary piece. I didn't like the fact that he had to depart. But maybe he flourishes and grows in Toronto the way he couldn't in New York. He needs to make mistakes. He needs a team that will kind of give him the keys to the car and let him drive for a little bit, because he's younger and he needs to make mistakes in this league. And where the Knicks are at right now, they can't afford those kind of mistakes. So they want to be a team that is ready for a better run. And I like the way that Julius Randle has played alongside OG Anunoby. I think those two are a nice 1-2 punch. And I think the thought of trading Randle has kind of quieted right now from Knicks fans, knowing that, hey, these two players play nicely together.
First off, Julius Randle right now looks like an all-star. Randle and Brunson both look like all-stars in New York. I mean, they deserve it. They've having great years. I want to see if the Knicks make another deal around the deadline or if they just roll with this team through into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, Brunson's my favorite player on the Knicks, no doubt about it. He's actually kind of like Luka Doncic light, right? I mean, like, he's so deceptive with his speed. He can kind of change and alter his speed at different areas, but he could score at all three levels, which is what I like. He could hit a three in your face, but he can also drive to the hoop and hit a nice floater to win a game. Like, he's so, I guess, multifaceted and versatile with his approach. He just needs a little bit of help, like one other star in order for this team to make a run.
37 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009, that's our telephone number. We're going to come back. John's going to join us live from Hudson's. We'll have a lot to talk about with Tice, and then we'll get ready for UTEP basketball with Keith Adams and Joe Golding. It's coming up top of the hour right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.